John chapter 9, again verse number 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I'm he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus." Made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." And I went and washed, and I received sight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this evening, and we do want to thank you for the opportunity of being here. And prayer meeting time, special time, Lord, where we can bring our requests to you and our burdens. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless this service. We invite you, Holy Spirit, we need you. God, you know everything in our life. You know the things that's going on. And God, you know how we think. You know what we do. You see everything. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just meet our needs this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each person's heart, Lord, in a way that only you can. And Father, I pray that you'd answer the quest that was brought before you tonight and the others that will be brought. And God, we pray, Lord, if there's anyone here in our midst tonight that don't know you as Savior, that most importantly, they would accept you as personal Savior and leave here with their name written in heaven and ready to meet you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just bless our time together. We'll give you the credit and the glory for everything that's accomplished here tonight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just talk to you a few minutes about he saw. It says here, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw." He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And you know, we read a lot in the scriptures about Jesus passing by many places, and he saw the needs of everybody. Yeah. We think about, you know, how he came into town one day and he saw Zacchaeus up in a tree, and he knew what his need was, and he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house to meet his need. You know, and he saw the woman at the well, and he says, "I much needs to go to Samaria." I mean, he wasn't in eyeshot, I don't think. But see, he sees where no man can see. He sees everything. You know, the Bible says there in Proverbs 15:3, said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all. You know, there's that, like that song, "He looked beyond our faults and saw our needs." He went into the synagogue that time and he saw this man with a withered hand. And he met his need. I mean, nobody had to come running up to Jesus at any time or any place and say, "There's a guy over here that needs help." Because he, when he came on the scene and before he even got there, he knew their need. And the reason I said all that, our church, it has a lot of people that's needy. And I want you to see that this man, he saw this man's need. In other words, let's call the load. I mean, if we have a need, that's a load on us. And we have all different kinds, I mean, loads that we carry. And there's the people in this congregation right now, and people that's not here, they'll be here Sunday. And you know the Wednesday night crowd's a little smaller than the Sunday crowd. But people have needs. We have a lot of people in this church with serious, serious physical needs. I mean, they're carrying a load. Can you imagine what kind of load this man was carrying? He was born blind. I think he was a grown man, because it says he saw a man which was blind from his birth. I don't think he was a kid. I think he was a man, grown man. He had been that way for ever since he was born. He had never seen the light of day. He was carrying a load, and he carried it this long. And see, not only does Jesus see your load, he sees what kind of load it is, and he knows how long you've been bearing that load. You know, some people carry loads, you know, in their mind. They have battles in their mind. I mean, I work with people. I mean, I work in a jail. There's over 1,000 inmates in there. And some of them are crazy. I mean, they are nuts. I could stand here and tell you some of the things that they do, and you wouldn't believe it. But it's in the mind. See, Satan is going to try to destroy you any way he can. You know. And we have needs. And just like a pastor preached the other Sunday about, you know, where they come and they besiege the city there. And they cut off their supplies. And see, Satan works on us the same way. He wants to single us out. He wants you to think and try to get you to think that nobody cares, nobody knows, nobody understands. I'm all alone. I'm carrying this load by myself. Satan will try to do that to you. He'll try to cut you off from the supplies from heaven. See? But I want you to know, Jesus sees your need. He knows exactly what need that is. Whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual. I mean, you know, he saw that woman at the well. He knew she had a spiritual need. And he said, I need to go over there. I need to help her. And that's the way he's passing by us today. The Bible says he's here. He's with us right now. And that's a sobering thought. People, at least some people, has a load of loneliness. Especially old people. I remember my mama, she used to call me at night. And it was after I'd gone to bed. And she knew I'd done gone to bed. But my mama was lonely. And she called me. So I'd get up and I'd hit every piece of furniture trying to get to the phone, you know. And I'd finally pick it up. And I'd pick it up and say, hello. And it'd be my mama. And she'd say, Johnny, was you in the bed? I said, yes, Mama. Was you asleep? I said, yes, Mama, I was asleep. Well, you go on back to sleep. You know, did you ever get a phone call like that? And I said, Mama, I'm already up. Let's talk, you know. What's on your mind? And she'd say, I'm lonely. She said, I miss your daddy so bad. See, my daddy passed away 3 years before mom did. And she'd get lonely. And sometimes some people carry the load of fear. She'd get afraid. You know, she'd be by herself and she'd get afraid. I'd read her scripture about, you know, how the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I said, the Lord's right there. He's camped out around about you. He's going to take care of you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. How comforting it is when you bear any load, the Word of God, the power of God, and the presence of Christ when you know Jesus. And that would help her. And she'd go on back to bed, and I'd go on back to bed. Praise the Lord. But anyway, my mama, she was, matter of fact, in 2011, she passed away on August the 7th, today. I remember that Sunday morning, I came in Sunday school class. We just had got to Sunday school, and I got a call from my brother. And he said, you need to come home. So we found Mom. She's gone. But I tell you one thing, I know where she went. And you know, I'd like to get one of them calls right now. I don't care if it's in the middle of the night. You know, sometimes you think, and when you get older, you'll realize, you think you're going to be around forever. And then one day you turn around, they're gone. They're gone. So you need to love them. You need to try to help them in their loneliness. You need to love on them all you can because they're going to be gone. But anyway, these needs, these loads that we carry, a lot of people carrying financial loads. I've been there and done that. I mean, I tell you, if it wasn't for Dave Ramsey, I don't know what I'd do. He turned my life around. We went out and bought a refrigerator and paid cash for it. Never have done that before. Now, we've been married 45, 50 years. What is it? 45. But anyway, we went out and we bought a refrigerator. And I checked. I'm one that checks out everything. You know, I checked out Home Depot, Lowe's, everywhere. Well, we finally went to this appliance store. You know, this family-operated appliance store. I figured they didn't have as many people eating out of their trough, you know, and they, you know, drive the price down a little bit. But anyway, we went in there, and I was going to get that refrigerator. And Becky comes out, and she said, we went through that Dave Ramsey class, and we got the cash. We got the money. I'm a trader. I like to digger, you know, and I like to, you know, I like to bring things down all we can. Oh, she went in there, we got the money. Don't you worry about the price. We got the money. I said, honey. But anyway, financial needs. But you know, there's been times when I wasn't so financially independent. Yeah, I can remember when we was raising our kids, five children, you know, we had them in Christian school, and just me working, and times got right, tough, you know. Things got kind of bare a lot of times. But you know, I tell you, the Lord, He was always passing by our place. He saw our need. And sometimes we get real, real low, and somebody come up the driveway and say, Brother Johnny, the Lord laid you on my heart. And He'd bring us a bag of potatoes, He'd bring us some groceries. But see, the Lord saw my need, and the Lord used those people to meet my need. See, this right here, He said, this was not because of their sin, but that the works of God might be manifest in Him. See, God wants to manifest His works in us through other Christians, maybe. The needs. Everybody has needs. And when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I wish you'd pray for me, do it. Do it. Fervently do it. Because they wouldn't come up to you if they didn't trust you with that. People have needs. They're carrying loads. Jesus saw this man's load. And He went out to help this man. What else was it here? He saw the disciples had a question. He said, and His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And what was the answer? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So I want you to see here, he saw the disciples' question, and he wanted to take this opportunity to teach them a lesson. The first, he saw the man's need. He saw the load he was carrying. And God wants to meet our loads, meet our needs. And he wants to let you realize, hey, you're not alone. You know, Satan is going to buffet you, just like the song says. But the Savior wants to deliver you from that buffeting, see? And, all right, he wants to teach you a lesson through your load. Does that make sense? I've learned a lot of lessons through loads. I've learned a lot of lessons through loss. You know, we have questions. Why does this happen? Why did that happen? Why did God allow this? Why? What? You know, we have a lot of questions. But listen, he has the answer to everything. And he said, for Christians, we must accept Romans 8:28. You know, God knows where you're at. And he loves you. And he's gonna bless you, and he's gonna take care of you through whatever happens. And there might be some hard things. And I know some of you had some tragic things in your life, and we've had tragic things, but I tell you what, it seems like every time. And we've asked why. You know, when John Daniel had that accident and was paralyzed, and of course he still is from his chest down. We just had got home from being up here. We just got done mowing the grass and Becky cleaned, you know, the church. We just got home from that. And I got in the shower, got out of the shower, phone rang. It was John Daniel. And he says, Daddy, he said, I'm hurt bad. Come and find me. And I said, son, where are you? I mean, I didn't know where he was. You know, I don't know, Daddy. I'm hurt bad. I can't move. Come and find me. I said, well, son, what happened? He said, Daddy, I don't know. He said, I'm just hurt bad. You need to come and find me. He was just in that state of shock, you know, that he just didn't know what had happened. It was so traumatic, the wreck he was in. So I immediately called out on the Lord and said, Lord, I need more information. I said, I don't even know where to start to look for it. I need help. So the first person I called was my older son, Jason. And Jason said, but Daddy, he was just with me just a little while ago, helping me practice the Sandlot ball players. And he was going home to get the car to go pick up his wife from the hospital where she worked. So then, see, God, that immediately, God put me on the trail where he was. It was just about an impossibility, see. Daddy, come and find me. Well, where do I start? But see, there's questions, and we wonder why things happen, but it's that God might work. We might see his power. And he's been paralyzed for 13 years now. And God has met all kinds of needs. He's helped him through all kinds of situations, and he's helped us through those situations with him. We might say, well, why in the world did this have to happen? You know, we was up there trying to do something for the Lord and then come home and this happens. You can do that. That's what Satan wants you to do. See? But why can't we just say, God, thank you so much for leading me in this direction, helping us find him in time, helping us get him flown to Roanoke, help us, you know, help the surgeon, and all the things that's happened through that tragedy. But I know some of you are carrying a lot of heavier burdens. But I want you to know, don't you dare give up on God. He's right there. He wants to help you through that load. He wants to do what he says here, that the works of God should be made manifest in you. He wants you to get through it. And he wants you to be a blessing because of it, that it might help other people. What else did he say here? He said, I must work. After he said this right here, he just said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Not only did he see the man's need, his load, not only did he see the disciples had a question, he wanted to teach them a lesson, he wanted to learn to teach them, he wanted them to learn something through this, but he saw that the time was late. And beloved, the time's late. The time's late. You read over in the book of Matthew, we can see the way the world situation is getting. He said before he comes, when he comes, before the rapture happens, he said there's going to be, you know, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Lawlessness. People's minds were evil. The thoughts were continually evil. And we see that in the world today. Hey, we see how he said it's going to be like it was in the days of Lot, Sodom. I don't need to explanify that too much. I believe you can get what I'm talking about right there. Hey, I mean, it's all around us. It's permeating our society. All these things that we're seeing them here. We're seeing it. It's Jesus said back then, he saw the hour was late. And Christians need to wake up and see that hour is late. Hey, we're in the ninth inning. I believe we're in the fourth quarter. I believe the Lord could come today before this service is over. It could happen. It could happen. He saw. We need to see. We need to ask ourselves and ask God to give us vision like he saw. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What about our sight? See like he saw. But anyway, and then he says here, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, where is Jesus right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But, two, he's in the world. He's in you and he's in me. See, because when he went away, he said, listen, don't you worry. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He said, I will come to you. In other words, he just went and changed clothes and come back with the Holy Spirit. He's in us. In other words, but listen. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. You can see. Who portrays or shines the light of Jesus? It's my responsibility now. What do you say? Ye are the light of the world. He said, you light a candlestick, you don't hide it under a bushel. You don't be ashamed. You portray Jesus. How in the world is people going to see what Jesus was like if they don't have any Christians to be, you know? I pray just this. That is my responsibility. That is your responsibility. So we need to see like him. And you know, when we're helping people with their loads, and we're trying to teach young Christians, and thank y'all that y'all didn't give up on me. I mean, I can remember when I came to church here, I had long hair, bell-bottom breeches. Now, that's what they wore back in. That was 45 years ago. Okay? I wasn't a freak or anything. I was just fatty, I reckon. But anyway, of course, I don't have Bill Brown breeches anymore. I don't think I've got one of them wide-collar shirts either. But, you know, when I came in here, everybody accepted me. See, that's what I've got to be careful with down at the jail. Even though some of them are crazy as a loon. I got to remember, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be right where they are. When I look through those bars, I see me. I'm no better. That's the reason I get along with them so good. Because you're crazy as a loon too? Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. If we could just see like he saw. Just see people's needs and care. Remember when he came, he passed by Galilee? And he came out and he saw the multitudes and he had compassion. We just see like that, you know. Oh, my. And, you know, we got a lot to learn, talking about learning. I'll never stop learning, I don't think. And talking about bearing others' burdens, when he went by, he passed by Gethsemane. You know what he did there, don't you? He was agonizing in prayer to fulfill the responsibility of saving my wretched soul and yours. See, he passed by those places. And he gets A+ on every one of them. He passed by Gabbatha, that place of the pavement where they turned him over to those Roman soldiers that hated Jews. And they brutally and cruelly beat him to a pulp and spit in his face, stripped him of his clothes, planted a crown of thorns, crammed it down on his head, put a reed in his hand. They blindfold him and they'd smack him upside the head and they'd say, "Prophesy, who hit you? You know, if you're the Son of God." And he took all that from me. I know a lot of people has tempers and everything, but just think what Jesus did. He had all power in heaven and in earth. And he could have just lost it for one instant and destroyed the whole world. We wouldn't be here. But he controlled himself. That control, that love, for God so loved, that's what it's talking about here. When he's talking about that soul, that little word soul, he so loved us that he did that. He had the compassion. He went through that. He so loved us. In other words, he was in love with me. And he was in love with you. And he still is. He still is. And he cares, I want you to know he cares about everything that's going on in your life right now that nobody maybe you think understands. He knows. He knows the load. He knows the length of time you've been carrying that load. He knows what kind of load it is. He wants to teach you a lesson in the load. He wants you to let you know that the time's late. Hey, your redemption's drawing nigh. He's ready to come. I believe he's chomping at the bit to come. But he's got to wait on the Father. See, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven, but the Father only. One day he's going to say, "Go get your bride." And he's going to bust that sky and we're going to meet him. Dead in Christ going to rise first. We that allow him to remain, we're going to go up to meet him in there. Time's late. But remember, while we're still here, we need to occupy till he comes. We might have questions. Oh, Habakkuk, there that prophet Habakkuk, things was going bad. He was asking God, "Why is this going to be? How long is it going to be? When's this going to end?" And then he just comes to himself. He said, "Okay." He said, "No more questions." He said, "I'm going to wait, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to work." We know the hour's late. We need to be the light of the world. That's our responsibility. And all we got to do is let him glow through us. And I love you, and I thank you for praying for me, my family. I do the same for you. In the mornings, I get up a long time, full time for work. Now, I'm not trying to brag or lift myself up in any way, but I start right there at that pen, and I try to go down through here. And then I go back there, and I come up through here. And then I go back here, and I come down through there. And if I know what your need is, I call it out. But that's the least I can do for y'all. Y'all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know y'all prayed for me a many times. Because you told me so. I remember old Joe Edmonds when I was just, you know, trying to get my feet under me, you know, early on. And he was a deacon, you know. I thought he was something. I thought he was just, you know, I thought he was the most spiritual thing it ever was. He met me back at the back door one night and he said, "You pray for me, I'll pray for you." You want me to pray for you? Me pray for you? But see, that's the way it is. We're all in this together. And we're going to be together. And we need to love each other while we can. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you and want to thank you.